Take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, if you would. Glad to make it here this far. Going over to a place, Israel. You're reading your Bible. I try to tell our church time and time again, when you read about things in Israel in your Bible, it's a real place. It's really there. Amen. And the reason you say, well, so what? Well, because the Book of Mormon and the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran and all that are just fairy tales. Amen. And people think the Bible's fairy tales. They think, but you go over there, you find talks about Jerusalem, it's there. Talk about Jericho, it's there. You can go over and look right at the places where the Bible is. In other words, what I'm saying, the Bible's true, it's real, it's right. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. You got everything else, but you don't have to worry about it. Genesis 31 is where we're going to go. And this is not a beat-em-up, bang-em-up Baptist message tonight. It's a little bit of an instruction. And what I'm going to instruct you in is the fine art of backsliding. Amen? Because I know everybody here practices it. I think you ought to learn how to do it just right. Amen? Everybody learn how to backslide right. And the way to learn, I'll just give you the message right at the beginning, is don't go very far and don't stay very long and get back. All right, back to Bethel is what this is. Look at Genesis 31, verse 11. And the Bible says, the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle ring, straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. God says, you get back to Bethel. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Yeah. I pray, God, your Holy Spirit, use me tonight to be a blessing and a help to your people. God, in every church I go, every place I go in our church, this one, we all need revival on a regular basis. And I pray, God, that you'd help our spirits tonight in some way, in a miraculous way I can't do. I can't reach the need of every heart. Somebody might here need to be rebuked. Another one might need comfort. And God, by your miraculous power, you can do it. So I pray, God, did take it as from you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Bethel is the house of God. That's what the word means. Beth-el. El being an abbreviation for God. Beth is the name for house. The house of God. Hopefully, I'm not 100% sure if we'll be able to go there. I've been to the place called Bethel, where it's at. The Palestinians kind of run that area, and they're just retarded, the poor feet folks. I mean, they can make it a nice little area, make people go and pay to get it, but it's just, you go up a rocky road, you finally get there in a flat top, and it's got some rock there, a flat rock, and it's got a little bitty sign up that's worn out, just about says Bethel, you know, and this is what happened here. And you think, well, why wouldn't they kind of build it up? Well, they're not much on Jacob, you know. They like Abraham, but they don't like Jacob, because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they believe it ought to go through Esau. But I mean, why would they care? They make money off everything else. They sell crucifixes for crying out loud. Why would they care? I mean, think, oh, yeah, spend some money. But they don't. Bethel is just a flat rock, basically. All there is up there. And then it's not far from a place called Shiloh. And I've tried to teach them Jews how to say Shiloh instead of Shiloh. They always pronounce it Shiloh over there. And I've been saying, it's not Shiloh, it's Shiloh. Everybody knows that. Knows your Bible. But anyway, give you a quick rundown of what happened. Now, you know, Jacob was the smooth one, and Esau was the hairy one. Jacob was at home, running the, cooking shows, and his brother was out doing the sports of field shows. And so he's a big hairy man, a hunter and all that, and his brother's a little guy in there, cutting up carrots and tomatoes and things. And so they're just pretty opposite. Pretty opposite guys. Now, I've always wondered, because everybody, every man here, their kid, he's big, strapping, hairy guy, he's out hunting. Yeah. And they said, what about your other boy? Ah, wimp, he's in there with mama. He's a mama's boy. But that's the one God took. God chose him. Well, anyway, you know how it goes. Most of y'all know the story, so it won't take too long. Why are y'all way back there? You're like way far, far away. Man. All right, well, anyway, I'll come back there and preach a little bit. Well, the problem is what happened is Jacob, he's making this pot of beans. Esau comes in. I'm about to die. You know how teenagers are, people like it. I'm about to die. He wasn't about to starve to death. Everybody knew that, but he says it like that. So he sells out his birthright. Buddy, that's bad, because he lost a bunch doing that. He sold it. Then Rebekah, his mom, Anyway, I always get to mix up it. Rebecca or Rachel? Rebecca, ain't it? Anyway, she convinces him, saying, man, your dad's going to give the blessing to Esau. We got to stop that. He said, you got to go in there and pretend to be Esau. He said, he's hairy. I'm smooth. It won't work out. He'll curse me instead of bless me. He said, tell you what, we'll cut up this goat. We'll put the hair. That must have been one hairy kid. I mean, you got goat hair that long on your hand. And dad feels it. So, yeah, that's Esau, all right. I thought, whoa. He's one of them long hair arm people, you know, got to kind of use a brush on your arm. But anyway, he's like that. And so he goes in and he cheats him out of the blessing. There ain't no two ways about it. Esau comes in. He said, oh, he stole my birthright. I said, well, that's not right. You sold that. But he stole my blessing. Now, that is right. He didn't steal the blessing. But anyway, in a little bit, Jacob finds out that Esau somehow, I don't know how that happened if you read the story, but finds out Esau wants to kill him. Well, yeah, but how did Mama know? He said in his heart. Esau said in his heart. If you read the story, it's kind of weird. Esau said in his heart that I'm going to kill him, right? And Mama says, get out of here. You got to go marry a gal somewhere else. So the ruse is you got to go find you a bride from way back up in Mesopotamia in Syria where my Laban is, my brother, and your family up there. And so he's afraid of getting killed. And so he takes off, and he goes all the way back up there. Quite a journey. If you look on a map, it's a long ways up to Mesopotamia, up into Syria, up into Haran and all that area. And so he goes way up there, and he's up there. And the idea was, you wait, his mom says, Rebecca says, and you wait a while, go up there, get you this gal, come on back. And they said, then everything, let him calm down. Well, bless God, it didn't work out the way he had planned. Because you know what happened was, is as he goes up, all the way up there, he gets to this place called Bethel. He lays down, puts a pillow, a rock for a pillow, and he lays there, and he sees this vision, this ladder going up to heaven. Angels coming up and descending on it. And they find out in the New Testament that's Jesus, but he didn't know that, but he says, man, this is the house of God. So they set him up some rocks and poured oil on him and anointed it and said, this is the house of God. And so he goes pretty good, and God met with him. And he said, I'll tell you what, God, tell you what I'll do. See, he's a conniver, right? He said, I'll tell you what, you be my God if you take care of me and Esau don't kill me. And I make it up there, and then I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tithe. Now, there's no account that he ever tithed. So you knew it was a Baptist right off the bat. You know, he's making these deals with God and then don't follow through. So he goes all the way up. And then he's up there, and he's supposed to just get a bride and come on back. But you know, he ain't the only trickster in the family. Rebecca come by it right. Because he goes up there, and he says, he meets this good-looking gal, and he says, oh, Rachel, whoo, she's hot. So he said, man, and they meet by this well, and he says, I want to marry you. And she says, okay, got to take my dad. Dad says, sure, 7 years, that's fine. So he worked with him 7 years. And then they come up to have the big party, you know, and have to get together, going to have the wedding feast and everything else. And I don't understand how this worked, but he takes Leah into the tent. I guess he's all about half drunk or something, but anyway, they takes him into the tent. And in the morning, he wakes up, and it's Leah and not Rachel. So he's upset, obviously. He's like, what's going on here? So he gets back up. He goes out and tells Laban, you got the wrong gal. And he says, hey, the elder goes first. Well, you notice Jacob didn't say nothing after that. Jacob like, that's the way it is at home, but I cheated my big brother out of it, and I've been cheated myself. He said, well, what I got to do to get Rachel? He said, 7 more years. Yeah. So 7 turns into 14. And by the time they get the other wife, and she's, you know, Leah's having kids and Rachel's not having, they get the handmaids involved and another handmaid involved, and they're all having these kids. And boy, I mean, you talk about hell on earth. You got 4 wives. They're all arguing. You got to come for my mandrakes. You got to come in tonight. And he's like, would you women? No wonder he stayed out in the fields. The Bible says at night in the cold, he said, I'm staying out with the sheep. Anyway, so he's out there all this time. And then he gets this idea. I don't know if you know about genetics type thing. I worked way through Bible school selling drugs down at Pensacola. I worked for Isle Lines Drug Wholesalers, legal drugs, actually, I think most of them were. But anyway, I looked this up in one of these big journal things, those tree limbs and stuff that he peeled, actually in the water can give off some stuff to change genetically. Long story short is he knew to do it, and he told Laban, he said, "Look, old Laban, I'll tell you what I do. I said, you get all the nice, white, clean, regular looking goats and sheep, and I'll take these old spotted, speckled, ring-straight, et cetera." And there were more of these, and there were less of these. And so Laban goes, "That's a good idea." And then so he sticks these things in there, and all of a sudden, all the big, heavy, good-looking ones are given ring-straight, speckled, and spotted. And over here, they're getting scrawny. And after a year after that, all of a sudden, Laban's getting mad. He said, "I got all the scrawny runts, and he's got all the good ones." And so, what's his name? Jacob finally gets a vision we just read from God. And he says, "Hey, buddy, you about had it being out here working for Laban?" And he says, "Yeah, I'm about done with this mess." So it's been 20 years. What was going to be 7 turned into 20 years for Esau to cool down. Man, oh man, so think about that, 20 years. Listen, you backslide on God, you say, "I'm just going to stay out of church for a while, I'm mad," right? And that turns into months and turns into years and turns into, and it's longer than you think. You decide, "I'm scared, I'm running, and I'm getting out of here," and you think, "I'll be back, preacher, I'm coming back, preacher," but it's longer than you think. Well, anyway, he gets all these flocks and everything. His sisters are all fighting. Remember, they're sisters, two of them. And everybody's having these kids and arguing. And anyway, so they finally says, God says, "Go back to Bethel." Now, there's some things you can learn. Let me be kind of quick. He told me to be quick. He said, "You only got 5 minutes. And I've already covered that. No, he didn't. But anyway, he said, he left. You know why he left? Because he was scared. You know why people leave the house of God? They get scared. We had a family one time. He was scared he couldn't pay. He was at the church, and he was making us, I can't even remember what it was, but he said, "Man, I just got to make more money. I got to make more money." And he said, "I'm not going to be able to pay my bills." I said, just keep at the job. They'll give you a raise or you get a better job. We'll pray. But he couldn't do it, so he had to move it down to Austin. Now, if you know anything about Austin, it's expensive. So he got $1 an hour raise to go from Amarillo to Austin. Buddy, $1 an hour raise in Austin is a cut in pay. So he ended up going down there, and then his family, long story short, his family fell apart, kids on drugs, in prison, bunch of things happened, him and his wife split up. The good news is, 20 years later, he's back in church in Alabama with his wife, and the kid got out of prison, so he's in church now too. So that's a good ending on that. But my soul, he didn't. Listen, you're going to backslide on God, make the devil pay. I mean, $1 an hour. Devil buys you off cheap. I mean, come on. If you don't backslide, make him pay. You know? $1,000 or something. I said, aggravated. I said, "God, the devil bought him off for $1. What a cheapskate. My soul. I mean, listen, you get all kind of things happen to person, you know, you get scared of this, scared of that. You get scared of your friends. We had a fellow named Danny Rangel that got saved years ago, and his friends come back. They started making fun of him, said, "Oh, you don't drink anymore." He said, "No, I don't drink. I don't want to drink." "Oh, your wife's the one that said you can't drink." And he said, "No, I just don't want to." "Yeah, it's your wife. So he said, "I can too." So he drank. He got drunk, got in a big fight, ended up getting thrown in jail and had a lot of problems, got embarrassed and took off. Took off. He said, "What happened?" He never came back. Never, as far as I know, I don't know whatever happened to him. He never came back. He moved out. They moved from Amarillo to Wichita Falls, which is about 250 miles away. He was just so embarrassed at what he had done. Just moved off. Well, people leave. Most time you leave, you don't want to admit it, but it's because you're scared. You're scared. Somebody said something to you. You don't want to, and you know what you're scared of? You're scared to do what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? Somebody offends you? What are you supposed to do in the book of Luke? What's the first thing you think? Forgive. No, that ain't the first thing. What's the first thing? Anybody know? Rebuke them. You ever read that? The first thing you do, they offend you, rebuke them. And if he repent, forgive him. You're scared to rebuke him. He won't listen. He's a jerk. He ain't gonna listen. Well, if he don't, the Bible says, then you take one or two. And if he don't listen to that, you take it for the church. But people scared. They say, I'm not gonna do that. So they're scared. So instead of doing right, they get offended and they get scared to rebuke somebody, so they just leave. Amen. They just don't show up. I just can't come. Sister so-and-so is going to be there. She's the one who said, my hair looked like an explosion in a steel wool factory. I mean, you know, she said, them new shoes look like you pulled them off an alligator. I mean, they're just ugly. And they say all kinds of things, and you got offended. And you're scared to go do what you need to do, and that's confront them. Amen. So they run, like Jacob. You run because you're scared. And then away, I got to hurry. He's already giving me signals. Yeah. But anyway, you know what? You're scared. But he's been away from Bethel, the house of God. He's been under a taskmaster named Laban. I mean, so he thought, I'm going to get out from under this stinking church and this pastor that's always climbing on my back, coming over to my house, saying, where you been? Why ain't you been in church? I'm getting out of here, right? That's how people get. You come over and try to, you know, just be gracious and talk to us. Brother, we hadn't seen you in a while. Just hope, hey, listen, I got things to do. People, see, I can't be there every time doors open. I mean, you're expecting too much. I mean, after a while, I mean, I don't have enough money to give, right? I mean, you got all kind of million excuses. And so you go out thinking, phew, I'm finally away from that. Then you get out, and after a while, all of a sudden, this problem starts, and this problem starts, and this, and then the wife problem starts, and the kid problem starts, and the boss problem starts. And after a while, buddy, you're under a hard taskmaster. And Laban is using you, and he's using you and tricking you. And you just hang in there, boy, we'll give you a raise. You've been there 10 years, and you still ain't got the raise. Right, but you can't leave because you owe this and you bought that. You bought the boat and you bought the car. And now you can't leave. You can't change jobs. You can't go back. I mean, to church, you can't move back because you got to stay where you're at. You're under a hard taskmaster. Right. And all of a sudden, things are looking bad. You're miserable. Your wife's screaming at you. The kids are turning into little idiots, and which means they turned into teenagers, you know. And so they ended up, and then you're looking out there and you're going, man, I hate this. I hate it. And the thought thinks, well, I'll go back to church. I hate it. I don't want to go back under that either. Right? Rachel, Leah, screaming, hollering, hell on earth. My, family feuds. Whew. Finally, you know what he says? Like the prodigal son. I'm better off back there. Right? Prodigal son come to himself and says, I'm better off going on back. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on back. That's what I'm going to do. Well, listen, the world ain't going to let go of you like you thought it was going to let go of you. Amen. Laban will come after you. You say, I'm leaving this place. Well, that might be so, but you ain't leaving without somebody chasing you down. And Laban comes after him. It's a world to come after you. You say, well, I'm quitting that. I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not smoking anymore. I'm going to try to live for Jesus, and I'm going to start going back to church. And your friend said, ha! My foot, you will. You ain't going back there. Not only that, you got to work this Sunday. Yeah. Buddy, I've known bosses that made Christians work on Sunday on purpose. Yeah. Just on purpose. You know what your thought is when you leave? Well, if it don't work out, I'll be back. That's what everybody says. If it don't work out, I'll be back. Buddy, a lot of them never make it back. You got income, car payments, house payment, rent, all kind of things happening, and you can't just quit and come back. This ain't happening. I told you about Danny Rangel. Kelly Callahan's another one. He's a converted Mormon at our church. Got saved, started doing right, him and his family. And he got a job offer over in New Mexico. He said, I'm moving to Mexico. I said, what kind of church is over there where you're headed? He said, I don't know. We'll be all right, though. We'll find one. I said, man, you better find a good church before you go, not after you head that way. Well, anyway, long story short is he went. They ended up messing up, out of church, no church. And I only heard that they were back in town. Him and his wife had split up. A lot of problems had happened. And I went to Kelly Callahan, and I told him, Kelly, and he's shacking up with a girl about this time in a trailer house. I mean, really, world really did him good. and he's got a job and he's shacking up. I said, listen, you're doing wrong. God's going to get you. He said, yeah, but I can't lose my salvation. You taught me that. And I said, I might be wrong. He said, no, you ain't. I know I can't lose my salvation. I said, you can lose a lot more than that, bud. Well, I said, he said, well, that's all right. I can't lose my salvation. I'm happy. And so I left. And about, I guess, a month later, I get this call. He's crying. Kelly Callahan crying. And I said, what's up? He said, I got in a motorcycle wreck and broke my leg. And he said, then I lost my job because I couldn't show up. And since I didn't have a job, I couldn't pay the rent. And my girlfriend kicked me out. And I don't know where to go, what to do. I started laughing. I said, but just think, you didn't lose your salvation. Isn't that neat? You didn't lose your salvation. Hey. Idiot. Amen. Amen. You'd think he'd have come back, wouldn't you? Still wouldn't come back. You think, I'll go, and then if it don't work out, I'll be... Nah, it don't happen. Now you beat up all that stuff. You sneak out because you're still scared. And the servants, you're going on down, and Laban has been after you. And you got finally past Laban. The world finally left you alone, said, if you're going to be that way and pass out tracts, we don't want you anyway. Your old friends don't want you anyway if you don't give in. And so you think, boy, beat that. I beat it. I'm headed back to Bethel. Things are looking up now. And one of his servants come to him and said, hey, Jake, guess what? I met a guy. He says he knows you. He said, oh, yeah, who is it? He says his name's Esau. Really? He said, yeah, and he got about 400 big old ugly hombres with him. And he said, he's coming to see you. He said, oh, brother. He said, yeah, and they look mean, every last one of them. And he goes, oh, my soul. Did you know if you backslide, when you come back, you're going to have to face the reason you left in the first place. You're still going to have to face Sister So-and-so with the... Amen. Amen. That is. How come he the only one know that? Rest of you up too out there. You still got to face that old hussy when you walk in the door and she goes, you're back. You're still going to have to go to her and say, look, I got offended and you made me mad and you did wrong. And she won't do it. You still got to confront them. Amen. You think, well, we'll just sweep it under the rug. It'll just fester. Right. It'll fester. You want to get back right with God, you might ought to confront the thing and get it took care of. Amen. That's what a lot of people do. They sweep things under the rug, think, well, just forgive. Let's just forgive and forget. You ain't forgetting, and you know good well you ain't forgetting. Anytime anything happens, you remember what she did to me? Every time, buddy, you'll pop it up. So till you get it fixed, like the Bible says, get it fixed, it's not gonna work out for you. You'll backslide again right away. Well, anyway, he goes back. Esau showed up. Now, he had a little run-in with the Lord. And you know what happened when he run into the Lord? He was sent him across the river. This is the craziest story. They ought to make a movie out of it. I think they'll write a book about it. And they wrote, he goes across the river there, River Jabbok, and they're over in what's modern-day Jordan right now, across the river. You can see it. When we go there, he'll see it. You can look across and see where all this is happening. Anyway, and you're looking over there, and he sends him away. It gets to be dark, and he wrestles with this guy all night. Now, buddy, I've got to give old Jacob some credit. He might have been a sissy, but you wrestle all night. I wrestled in high school. Y'all ever wrestle? Had to wrestle? I mean, 5 minutes, I'm done. I mean, hey, I'm tongue high, I said, pat, pat, go, let me out of here. I don't know. And all night he wrestles with this dude. And finally in the morning, the guy says, hey, I got to quit. Listen, you ain't even got me tired yet. Yeah, I got a toe hold on you. Anyway, and he reaches down and makes him limp and all that. And he says, by the way, what's your name? Well, it wasn't Esau. He said, my name's Jacob. Woo! Yeah. He had to admit, he had to confess before he'd get right. Yeah. My name is Jacob, supplanter, cheater. He had to confess. You know, before you get right, you got to get the world off your back. You got to confront and you got to confess. confess what the problem was. The problem was you was a cheater, got caught, and had to run. You either come back to church, confess what you did is wrong, confront the problem, and get right.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I think about it. You think about they come back, and this is the craziest outfit I ever think. I wonder how he stayed married, I guess. They didn't have anywhere else to go. But, I mean, he sends out one of his handmaids with her kids, sends them out first, and if they get them, then he sends his next best handmaid out and her kids. If it gets them, then he sends his next best handmaid, his wife out, Leah, and then finally Rachel, and then sends them out, and then if they get them, he's hanging back. I'm wondering about these women. The one at the very end said, well, I guess I know all right. Chop my head off first. I guess get rid of him finally, somehow. 400 men, he ain't got a chance. Right? But anyway, it didn't work out like he had thought. He thought he was going to get killed, thought there was going to be a problem, but it wasn't. Turns out his brother got over it long ago. He could have come back years ago. And then the brother that you're scared of was wanting to get right anyway. All that time. So you get backslidden, get out. You think, oh, they'll never forgive me. Oh, come on. Let me, a little insight, psychology. That's a big word. Means, well, I don't know what it means, but it's a big word. And it's like this. You think, well, I can't go back. Them people, they hate me. They won't like me. They're gonna laugh at me. Now, do you know why you think that? Because if somebody else was in your shoes, that's what you'd think. You ever thought of that? You're thinking, that's why I'd react if so-and-so came back. That's the way they'll react if I come back. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody ain't as rotten as you. Amen. If a lot of backsliders out here would come back, most everybody, except maybe one or two, you old sour pusses, about everybody would be glad to see them. Amen. They'd thank God they're back.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. If you get out, don't wait 20 years to get back. I had a good friend of mine. His name is Brother Bob Hudson in Amarillo. And he was what you call a real, sure enough, drunken bum. I mean, a drunken bum. And we had him at our Valentine banquet. He was the preacher. He's not a drunken bum anymore, but obviously. But he, I did have a drunk bum preach at our church one time, and he was drunk, and he was a bum. No kidding, as a YMCA. Well, anyway, another story, but old Bob Hudson was in the Army, but he was a drunk, and which just seems like it's like being repetitive, isn't it? I mean, if you're in the Army, you're usually drunk anyway. And so he was always drunk and always drunk, and he was in during the Vietnam War, and his unit was going to Vietnam. He called his mom, says, our unit's going to Vietnam. And he hangs up the phone. The next couple of days, the CO calls him in, says, Bob Hudson. He comes in. The captain says, Bob, you're a good soldier. You're above average soldier. But he says, you're drunk all the time. And he says, you're going to get somebody killed. You'll be on watch, and you'll fall asleep. You'll something happen. You're going to end up getting us killed. He said, we'll give you an honorable discharge. But you're going to have to get out of the Army. So we're going to send you down. You're getting out of the Army. Now, he was so ashamed because he just told his mom, him and his men and his unit are heading out, and he'd been washed out. For the next 20 years, he did nothing but live under bridges and drink wine and booze and stayed in old flop houses. He'd go in bars and ask for money, getting beat up and thrown out of bars. And he said he finally got thrown out of a bar over in New Mexico in Albuquerque area. He got thrown out, or no, it was Phoenix, in the Phoenix area. He got thrown out of a bar, and there was a guy that was a member of a Baptist church, saw him laying in a ditch, and he went over, woo, woo, sit down with him. Talk to him. He said, I was drunk, but I was listening. And he said, the old boy picked me up, took me home, cleaned me up, said, you stay, but you got to come church with me. So he came to church, and he witnessed to him, and the old boy got saved. And he said, we went to church on Sunday, and the old boy says, come on, we're going back tonight. He said, we done been. He said, we go to church all the time around here. And so he stayed with him, lived with him about 3 months. And after about 3 months, he got sobered up and he got right. And I remember him telling about it. He said, whoo, he looked across. He saw this pretty girl. And he thought, my, she's pretty. And they ended up getting married. He's now pastoring a church in Pampa, Texas. He'd been there for, I can't remember how many, 30 years he's been in Pampa as a pastor of a church there, Bible Baptist of Pampa. You know what? If you want to get right, God can still use you. Amen. You come back, God will still use you if you want to. You know, the best thing is just make backsliding real short and don't go very far. Maybe from Sunday morning to Sunday night, come back Sunday night. Man, that's about as long as you want to backslide. Everybody here has done stuff and thought about stuff and got mad about this or somebody bugged them and whatever and you got upset. Take care of it. Get back. Come back. Get back in. I mean, there are so many mad, fat slobs sitting at home with a beer in their hand watching a football game or a basketball game or something that because they got out and they've never come back. I always hope they do, but a lot of them never make it. Don't get backslid. If you do, come back. You can. You can. Let's pray. Father, I pray you deal with every person. Everybody here probably knows somebody in this church. Due to some reason, some misunderstanding, or maybe just some plain meanness, somebody's not coming anymore. And God, I pray your Holy Spirit touch their heart and touch the heart of the person here. Maybe there's an Esau in here that was mad because he got cheated. And the old boy left. And the situation was all wrong. And God would be nice. They just go to him and say, come on back. I don't hate you. I love you. Come on back. Person in here may need to confess things and get things right. Confess like Jacob did. Had to confess to that angel. Yeah, I'm the one that cheats. I'm the cheater. God in heaven. This is a great church, good people, good pastor and families and things. And devil like nothing better than to just foul it all up. And God in heaven, don't let him do it. Amen. Pray you bless in Jesus' name. Amen.